6 pieces of advice I wish I had before making my first learning video. Thanks for downloading EdTech Source, the pedagogy podcast that focuses on all things EdTech, hosted by me, Alex Nixon. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Making videos is really easy if you want it to be. Sure, you can make things as simple or as complex as you want, and I won't belittle the work that some teachers go to in producing content. Some have spent years perfecting their skills and spent hours or days producing a single high-quality video. But of course, not every educational video has to be an award-winning high-budget piece. What's more, many educational videos don't involve a camera or any kind of filming. Converting a PowerPoint presentation into a video is quick and easy. Even if the videos you start to produce don't have a sparkly, high-quality feel, that doesn't mean the educational quality of them is anything less than very high. Remember that when making videos for education, you are already a professional educator. Having little or no experience in video making is not something that should hold you back. So, if it's so easy, how do you get started? Here are the tips I wish I had before making my first learning video. Number 1, choose a topic and keep it short. Number 2, create a high quality presentation. Number 3, choose your animations carefully. Number 4, borrow free photos and give credit. Number 5, script it, then narrate it. Number 6, share it. So number 1, choose a topic and keep it short. You want to share the information as simply and concisely as possible. The first video I ever made, which I introduce with, this is a quick presentation to describe the process of, was anything but quick. It ran for about 15 minutes, and that's way too long. Aim to make presentations around 3 to 5 minutes, and don't be tempted to repeat anything for clarity. It does make sense to use repetition for reinforcement in the classroom, but with videos, the students could pause and replay easily. That's one of the main benefits of videos, so let them choose. When it comes to choosing a topic, I strongly recommend keeping it bite-sized. It might be tempting to try and cover a full chapter or a full unit of work in one video, on the pretense that keeping it all in one video condenses the whole thing. And that's not as effective as it sounds. Students will generally benefit from watching a video on a single individual concept rather than a whole chapter. When they are learning or revising, they'll be put off if they have to skip forward to a certain point in a 20-minute video to find the exact information that they want. For example, a science teacher doing a unit on forces should avoid doing a video summarizing the forces chapter, but instead do several videos with titles like What is a Newton? What is the gravitational constant? Calculating force using mass and acceleration, etc. A prep school English teacher might want to summarize grade 5 grammar rules in a single video, but it would be better to do a series of two-minute videos on each individual grammar rule. This is a lot more accessible to the viewers. Number 2, create high-quality presentations. If you haven't ever made a video before and don't know where to start, narrating a presentation is a great place to begin. Microsoft PowerPoint and Apple's Keynote both allow you to record and narrate a presentation, then export that as a video. I won't go into exactly which buttons to press because it changes with each version of the software, but generally you need to click the slideshow button somewhere at the top and then something like record slideshow. You won't struggle to find it whichever version you're using. Make sure you consider how your presentation will come across as a video. We all know what death by PowerPoint feels like. We've all had to sit through presentations where someone puts a block of text on the screen and reads it to us. So much so that it's a cliche now. The rules for presentations for video are slightly different, but not entirely different. And here are the main things to remember. Your voice is in the video, so don't worry about relying on text. Next, a picture or a diagram is worth 1,000 words. Videos are visual, so take advantage of that. Next, use lots of slides rather than a few slides with lots of content on each. This makes the content look more sleek and clean, and means the viewer is focused only on the information you want them to focus on. Having a single slide with only one word or phrase on it is perfectly reasonable. Number 3, choose your animations carefully. By animations, I'm talking about the way you can make text and images magically fly in and bounce around the screen. This is part of creating a high-quality presentation, but it deserves a special mention of its own. Usually, I would say, don't use animations. They're overdone and cheesy. But that's for using presentations that you intend to give in front of a class. And with videos, they can actually be really useful. I strongly recommend making things appear when you want to discuss them, and not before. This is another way to keep the viewer focused on what you want them to focus on. A good example is a labeled diagram. Show the diagram unlabeled, and as you describe each feature, make the label for that feature appear. The reason this is more important with video content is because you can't point to something on the screen like you might in class. There are tools for using the mouse as a pointer when recording a presentation, but honestly, I find them a bit clumsy, hard to use, and I'd much rather rely on animations. Now, when I say use them carefully, I mean stick to one type of animation. If your first piece of text bounces in from the left of the screen, don't have the second piece of text fade in with sparkles. This not only looks awful, it becomes distracting and takes attention off your content. I tend to stick with a simple fade-in effect on all of my presentations, and I only use something different when there's a distinct, relevant, dramatic effect that I'm trying to achieve. Honestly, that's rare. Number 4, borrow free photos and give credit. The truth is, plain text is boring, and as I've already mentioned, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Add relevant images to your presentation to support what you're saying. I'm very careful with copyright when it comes to using images. I used to spend ages searching for images online with the appropriate license that allowed me to use them. It gets complicated because you have to understand the type of license and what the creator of the image expects from you. For example, some say that you can use their picture without any limits, while others say you can use it but you've got to give them credit. Others say you can use it but you're not allowed to modify it. And some creators are really specific about exactly how you give them credit and what sort of phrases and names you have to use. The point that I'm making is that finding images and using them legally can be a really, really big time constraint. I really wish someone had showed me Pixabay, P-I-X-A-B-A-Y, and Pexels, P-E-X-E-L-S, when I started out. These are both websites that share photos with a Creative Commons Zero license, which means you can download them and use them in your videos, even if you're making money from the videos, and you don't have to give credit for the photo, and there's no concern that you might accidentally use something incorrectly and get a takedown notice. What's most important is that these websites are completely free. All you've got to do is sign up and start searching. For the sake of professionalism, I would still recommend having a little credit section at the end of your video and perhaps stating something like stock photography taken from Pixabay, if that's the website that you use. And that's just to acknowledge that you're not claiming you own that photography. Remember that in this day and age, plagiarism is a really big problem, and it's good to set the right tone with the students that you teach. Number 5, script it, then narrate it. When I started out, I figured, you know what, I know what I'm talking about with this topic. I'll save a little bit of time and I'll just wing it. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Some people have got a gift for winging it. Some people can do it. They can do it and make it sound really good. But honestly, I believe the vast majority of people need a script. I remember narrating a single slide, fumbling over the words a little, re-recording, fumbling again, then deciding, okay, I'll practice it, then trying again, then maybe I would get it right, and then on to slide 2. It became quite time-consuming. Do yourself a favour, spend 5 to 10 minutes writing a little script, or at least just some bullet points. Obviously, word for word might not be necessary, but write a few bullet points on what you intend to say, and those 5 to 10 minutes will save you around 30 minutes of fumbling over your own words while you're narrating. It'll probably also make the whole thing sound a little bit smoother as well. Number 6, share it. Get a YouTube channel if you don't already have one, and make sure it's future-proof. By that, I mean, think about the direction you're taking your channel in as you choose your name. Maybe you're making grammar videos for your Grade 6 English class. You might call the channel Mrs. Smith's Grade 6 Grammar. Well, first off, is it possible you will create content for Grade 7 and 8 as well? In which case, Grade 6 Grammar is not a great title. Next, will it only focus on grammar, or are you going to move on to other aspects of the course? Now, don't let that dissuade you from being specific. Being vague in your channel name can make it unclear. For example, Mrs. Smith's Grammar is better than Mrs. Smith's Channel, assuming that grammar is the only focus. What I'm saying is, decide what the focus is. And next, are you sure that you are going to make videos only for your students? What if the first video you do gets 50,000 views and you decide to monetize it in the future? In which case, do you want to put your name on it, or do you want to have something more catchy, more of a brand name? Maybe something like apostrophe S. Get it? Either way is fine. It's just make sure you make that choice. Ultimately, the best thing you can do is just get started and feel your way, because nothing beats actual experience. But if you follow the advice here, hopefully you'll find the whole process runs far more smoothly. If you're just getting started with the idea of making videos for your students, then best of luck with your first video. If you use my advice for your videos, please share it in the comments section and add in any advice for others that you might have gained in making your first video. Thanks for listening to EdTech Source, the pedagogy podcast that focuses on all things EdTech. You can find more details, subscribe links, show notes, all that sort of thing at sciencesourceonline.com/EdTech Source. And both of those sources are spelled like ketchup. You can also get in touch with me on Twitter if you want to, using @science_source. Have a great week, everyone.